is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Dirt from under the golden arches. Workers take McDonald's to court with attorney Joseph Sellers. Fast food workers hit McDonald's with multiple class action lawsuits claiming McDonald's is deliberately and systematically stealing employees' wages by forcing them to work off the clock, shaving hours off their time cards, and not paying them overtime, among other illegal practices. For workers already struggling to afford the basics, it's nearly impossible to make ends meet at McDonald's, which rakes off nearly $5.6 billion in profits each year, but doesn't pay workers for all of their hours.
Attorney Joseph Sellers said, McDonald's has tried to shield itself from liability for these unlawful employment practices committed at its franchise restaurants. But we found evidence that McDonald's Corporation has indeed exerted the control over the daily operations at these franchise restaurants that makes it legally, jointly responsible for these unlawful pay practices. We believe it's time that McDonald's accepts responsibility for the pay practices in its franchise restaurants as it serves jointly as an employer there.
And we're going to hear a clip now.
And it's a clip from a protest at Chicago McDonald's, part of a wave of protests recently in the United States against low-wage employers.
Hold your burgers, hold your fries, make our way to super size.
Fast food and retail are out here protesting for the injustice that workers have to deal with working at McDonald's, for being exploited, working hard, being overlooked, not making enough money to take care of their basic needs, getting hours cut when business is slow, being overworked when business is blooming. Having no sick off days and not getting paid time and a half, and basically being taken advantage of, not getting their raises accordingly, and things of that nature. We are out here because we work too hard for these companies to be exploited, to feel underpaid, even when we're getting full time, to not come home with a livable wage, able to take care of all our basic needs, still rely on government assistance even though we are full-time workers. We're out here protesting our right to unionize, organize, and fight for the injustices of these companies.
Se siente, la unión está presente. Se ve, se siente, la unión está presente. Se ve, se siente, la unión está presente.
And with that, we are pleased to have with us plaintiff's attorney, Joseph Sellers. Welcome to Building Bridges.
Thank you.
Well, let's begin by this multiple class action lawsuit that's claiming that McDonald's is deliberately and systematically stealing employees' wages. Lay that out for us more, please.
Certainly. We have evidence that is the basis for these seven lawsuits that McDonald's, through a series of practices, has failed to comply with the laws requiring employees to be paid for all time worked, and has done so in a variety of ways, including not paying them for overtime when they're eligible for an overtime premium. It has failed in another state, in New York, to pay them a uniform maintenance fee when it requires them to wear McDonald's insignia uniforms, but doesn't pay them for the time it takes and the cost it takes to launder them. It makes them wait for to be paid when they show up at work if the traffic for customers is lower than expected, and therefore they want to keep their labor costs low. There are series of practices like that these lawsuits are based on, and as a result, our clients have asked us to sue both McDonald's, the corporation, and the franchisees where there are franchised restaurants.
Can you expand on the situation? I think it's in the Michigan part of the lawsuit, where a computer program basically tells the franchise owner, the computer program from McDonald's Corporation, when to put the workers to work and when they were off the clock and how they have to wait around on their own time and how that fits
Yes.
into the lawsuit?
McDonald's uses a series of computer programs which set, among other things, goals for appropriate amounts of labor costs that it wishes, it wants the franchisees to incur. And when the costs of labor reach a certain level, it warns the managers at these stores to reduce the labor costs. And of course, at that point, the employees often are there at work. And so the managers engage in a variety of practices. Some of them are simply to take them off the clock and not pay them for some period of time, or make them wait to start work if they have been called into work, and not begin paying them when they arrive, or do other things that will reduce their labor costs below the level that McDonald's program prescribes is appropriate, even though in doing so they are stealing wages from these workers.
Joseph Seller, do these suits also as causes of action include anything relevant to benefits or the other conditions relevant to these fast food workers?
The lawsuits primarily focus on wages because, frankly, the benefits aren't much. And the most important thing for many of these workers is, who often have multiple jobs in order to just be able to survive, is to be paid fully for all the time worked. That seemed to be the most important thing to them, and seems like a pretty fundamental right that we ought to have, that we have in this country.
And I'm interested in holding both the corporate parent liable and the independently owned franchises liable. Can you parse that out for us and tell us how that works?
Sure. The law requires that those who are serving as employers must be held responsible for the conduct, unlawful conduct in the workplace. The franchise owners certainly are employers of the employees who are denied pay for all time worked. The question is whether McDonald's corporation, which is the franchisor, the entity that enters into the contract with these franchised companies, is also a joint employer. And the evidence we have is pretty clear that McDonald's corporate is also an employer of these employees by virtue of the degree of control and oversight that it engages in connection with the workplace and the compensation of these employees. These employees are ultimately apply for jobs through a McDonald's corporate-owned website where their candidacy for employment at the franchise restaurants is assessed, and they're determined by McDonald's corporate whether the employees are likely to be good candidates for employment at the franchise restaurants. And then as you mentioned before, there's an elaborate set of programs that set goals and rules for what are appropriate amounts of labor to be paid on a particular day based on the profitability of the store and the volume of customers and other things. And all of those things, along with some other aspects of the operation, the McDonald's provides what it calls business consultants to the managers, who ultimately scrutinize the store manager's compliance with McDonald's internal operating procedures, a variety of ways in which we think McDonald's ultimately, McDonald's corporate, is equally responsible for the unlawful conduct in the workplace.
In addition to stopping this kind of behavior and compensating the workers for the wage that they've endured, is there any fine or penalty in McDonald's that you're asking for?
Well, the various statutes permit some additional recovery. In California, they can recover damages. Under federal law, they can recover liquidated damages, which is a payment in the same amount as the lost earnings, so it would double the amounts that are paid to the workers. Frankly, I think that the existing laws that that provide apparently an inadequate set of disincentives for complying with them, because there appears to be a fairly extensive degree to which the McDonald's, and we've had evidence about other companies as well, have been engaging in this kind of conduct, notwithstanding the clear prohibitions against it.
How would you change the laws to make them tougher?
Well, there are certainly other kinds of laws. The anti-discrimination laws, for instance, permit the award of compensatory and punitive damages. And whether that is warranted or not in this area is a subject of legitimate discussion. But those have additional, and in addition, there is the right to recover what's called injunctive relief, to actually permit a court to direct the employer to cease and desist from the unlawful conduct. The federal wage and hour laws, for instance, don't have either for private parties the ability to provide for the private parties the ability to seek that kind of injunctive relief, the cease and desist authority, or for compensatory or punitive damages. And those kinds of remedies have been very powerful in the laws that prohibit discrimination, and they may be something worth considering in the wage and hour area.
Joseph Sellers, let's put a human face on these claims. There's a generic understanding of what it must mean for a low-wage worker to have the toil, the blood, the sweat and tears that they put into their very telling job taken away from them. But what are some of the actual complaints, the harm that results from this, that must surely be in the affidavits that are a component part of these suits?
Well, the first thing to know is that these workers, most of them barely make minimum wage. So when they are not paid fully for this time, it often leads to, or there's other conduct that leads to them, their compensation dropping below minimum wage. Minimum wage is itself a pretty modest level of compensation. So these are people who often have two or three jobs just to survive, and the loss of even a few dollars a day is a major loss for them, and it has been a source of great pain and suffering for them. Some of them have to come to work, as we report in some of the complaints, and sit and wait while they're not paid for the time, and they've come some distance, often taking multiple subway rides to get to work, only to find that they have to wait and either return home unpaid for the day or wait to see if they get work during the day. We believe that that kind of conduct is plainly unlawful. Others have been required, for instance, in Michigan, to purchase their own uniforms, in doing so, pay for the uniforms. That is the McDonald's insignia uniforms, and the purchase price comes out of their limited paycheck, dropping it below minimum wage at the start of their many people at the beginning of their employment. So those are some examples of how this kind of behavior has really had an impact on real people and has driven down their wages to a level that is below. Many of them are, in fact, on are eligible for public assistance. McDonald's nationally has, last year, on average, its employees have received more than $1 billion in public, state, and federal public assistance by virtue of how limited their income is.
Well, frankly, I find it quite insightful and important to see these ramped up litigation efforts against such great entities that have been so destructive to individual workers, to the working class, that are places such as Walmart. Certainly, there is dirt under those arches of McDonald's, and we're going to follow this suit very carefully. Just in the remaining seconds, what's the progress of it? Where is it at now?
The cases have been filed in three states, in state and federal court. We are waiting for a response from McDonald's, and we intend to press ahead as quickly as we can to bring them to trial where we can.
And it really is a novel aspect of this lawsuit that they tried to tie McDonald's, and it's a valuable brand, to these wage and hour violations at franchise restaurants that the company doesn't even own directly or operate. Very important, very interesting. And we will continue to follow this most important litigation. And frankly, Joseph Sellers, we haven't talked about all your important work, but we will on another occasion. But certainly this is representative of law aiding the struggles and justice for the working class. And we thank you.
Thank you for having me on your show.
It's been our pleasure. New York City workers and public advocate Tish James protest the widespread wage theft at McDonald's, at the McDonald's located at 341 Fifth Avenue in Manhattan.
My name is Franklin. I'm 25 years old and work just over 30 hours a week at McDonald's. I work at McDonald's to make ends meet, but I've also been a victim of wage theft, and I'm here today because it has to stop. Like Jennifer, I've never been paid the state-mandated uniform maintenance fee, but for months now I've also been forced to work off the clock and after my shift ends at midnight. Two nights a week for 5 to 10 minutes, sometimes 10 to 20 minutes off the clock. Minutes doing cleanup and other basic job duties. It may not sound like a lot, but when you're living on the edge like me, every penny counts.
I work at 1040 Bedford and Lafayette in Brooklyn. It's KFC. And actually we get like about 10 workers. And I've been working 50, 60 hours. I'm only getting, I'm not getting overtime. I'm 48 years old with four kids. So at $8.25 minimum wage, $8, it cannot really compensate for the cost of living in New York City.
Everywhere we go,
the people want to know
who we are,
so we tell them, we are the workers,
fast food workers, fighting for justice and fair wages.
We all know Ronald McDonald make billions and billions of dollars each and every year. It's no reason why they should take the hard-working money that we work for out of our paycheck. I mean, you giving us minimum wage and you taking the money back from us? That don't make no sense. And these are working families. We're talking about single mothers, single fathers, students, elderly people. I mean, it doesn't matter. We all working towards something. And this is why it's shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
The faith community is paying attention to this issue. It's a righteous demand. It's right that workers are paid their fair due, are given a living wage and shown the respect and dignity on the job that they deserve.
McDonald's made a $5.5 billion profit in 2012, while workers are barely making ends meet. These companies should pay their hard-working employees enough to cover the necessities and support their families. It is unacceptable, and it's now time that government steps in and support these workers and protects their salaries and supports their right to organize.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. think the worst thing that I was ever asked to do would be to really adjust a person's time. That is the worst, because they did the work. You know, they were there. And they deserve to get paid for what they did. It's a job. It's not right. It's not fair.
My GM was sitting at the office desk and notified me and four other managers that there was a crew member that went over 40 hours, that she was going to take the rest of those hours and put it on the following pay period.
I had a manager that actually sat with me when I was closing. And when it was time to shut down the system, the exact words were, oh, we got to adjust labor. Not giving an employee a break. That is pretty much the norm. If you get a break, you're pretty much lucky. See, what you would do is at the end of the shift, as a manager, when you go in, you constantly have to go into the computer. You're going to put that break in there if that time is not balancing out. I've, on several occasions, had employees come and work either before their shift or either stay after their shift. I've had employees literally clock out to work because they were either going into overtime or labor was getting extremely high, and we had to balance it. I have witnessed deductions being done with employees, whether it was uniform, whether it was a name tag, whether it was a meal, whether it was anything. They would deduct and they would take it out of your payroll.
They were on the clock, and if they got sent home, that was money, you know, being taken out of their pay. They weren't the teenagers. They were the 30 to 40 something mothers working multiple jobs at the time to where they couldn't get a full-time work status. Knowing that McDonald's is a multi-billion dollar empire and they can't pay their workers, it hurts me, as now being a mother and seeing other mothers and they can't afford to pay their bills. I feel that McDonald's are stealing from their workers. The company or corporation as a whole is greedy.
As this movement has grown across Kansas City and across the United States, it has come to light that the fast food industry is engaging in a widespread practice of wage theft. That is, these industries are failing to pay workers for the money that they are owed and for the money that they have worked for. And we're here today to make sure that we put a stop to that.
Now, those of us living in poverty, we know how to stretch a dollar. We know how to do the most with the little that we have. But I was going to have to make this paycheck last longer than ever. And so I knew exactly how much my check should be, and I was counting on every dollar. When I received my last paycheck and I opened it, then I realized that McDonald's had shorted me 10 hours of pay. That's $75. To me, that's a week's worth of food for my family. That's a payment on a utility bill that might otherwise get cut off. At the moment in my life when I could least afford it, McDonald's shorted my pay. When I asked them to correct it, I was told there was nothing they could do. This is why we need to fight for 15 in a union.
Yeah.
By myself, I wasn't able to do anything about my stolen wages or about losing my job unjustly. But with the union, we have power in numbers and we can protect all workers. When we win a union, are we going to let McDonald's steal our pay?
No!
When we win a union, are we going to let McDonald's fire good workers like me?
No!
Are things going to get better if we don't fight?
No!
We know this fight won't be easy, and we know things won't change overnight. But that's okay. That's not going to stop us or slow us down. All good things are worth fighting for. We are fighting for fairness on the job, and we're going to win. We are fighting for ourselves and for better futures for our children, and we are going to win. We are fighting so that no worker in America has to live in poverty, and we are going to win so long as we stand up and stand together. Stand up, KC!
Stand up, KC!
Yeah.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.